All right, Luke chapter 3. Do you see how speedily we've gone since you...
Yeah. I heard the turtles.
Yeah. Let's look at verse 9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? What shall we do? Again, this word for people is that oklos, which means the commoners, it's not the ruling class or the Pharisees or the Sadducees, it's the commoners. What shall we do? And he answereth and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. And then also came the publicans to be baptized, and he said unto them, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their hearts, of John, whether he were Christ, the Christ, or not. Now, we spend a lot of time about the coats and the cloak. There's one point that we didn't get to, and that's John 19. So let's go there. We're talking about the coats and the cloak, and this is an important one. Verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said unto him, they said therefore among themselves, Let us not tear it or rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. Now, if you listen to those of the prosperity gospel, they talk about saying that this was a coat, or like we normally think of the word coat, that was without seam. And so they say, therefore that had to be very expensive. It's another proof that Jesus was rich. They missed the whole point of this. The word coat in 23, the first, they parted two garments. One was the word garment is just a word that means what we think of as cloak. But this word for the one without seam, it's the word chiton, C-H-I-T-O-N. And it's the undergarment. It's like the not like we think of underwear, but it's the undergarment that they wore. It's almost like a t-shirt. And so they say this was without seam. Well, they didn't do it because they didn't cast lots for it because it was expensive. They cast lots for it because that's what fulfilled the scripture. Do you understand the difference here? Yeah, you don't.
Well, I'm just kind of surprised that they care. It was interesting.
Well, they took the outer garment and they cut it in four pieces. Now, the inner garment was without seam. And the reason they cut it in four pieces is because that was made with four pieces. It had seams. Mm-hmm. And so they... But the undergarment was made without seam, which it's just like you would have a you know, those muscle shirts or the t-shirt. It's not really a t-shirt because it didn't have sleeves. Well, it's like a, but anyway, it's not that it was expensive. That the, it was that it, since it was a well-out seam, it would, if they cut it, it would just be rags. The other ones, they could just because it had a seam in it, and then they had these other four different pieces of coat that they could do something with. But my point to you is, if you'll hear this over and over and over, if you listen to these prosperity gospels, that this is the evidence that Jesus was rich because he had this undergarment, this cloak, they say coat, that was without seam. That had to be very expensive, blah, 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 blah. Let's get off that. I don't want to talk about that anymore. But what is this stuff? What's going on here? Because it sounds like to-dos. It says, let's go back there. Everybody's asking them what to do. The first one was the multitudes, and then it's talking about the coats. The publicans, what shall we do? Exact no more than that which is appointed you. The soldiers, what shall we do? Do violence to no man, neither accuse anyone falsely. Be content with your wages. Now the whole idea of this is the expression of the great commandment. It's the expression of the great commandment, not as a what to do, but if you're not doing it, to repent. And each one of these things was something that normally you wouldn't do. You wouldn't, let's take the publicans. The publicans were hated more than anyone else because they were mostly Jews, and there were the tax collectors. And they were notorious. They had to give a certain part to Rome, but they exacted more than was due, so that they then kept the excess. And it was just rampant. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew was a publican. And so, I mean, we'll get there when we study publicans, but okay, let's look at the big picture a minute. There are 613 laws in the Torah, in the Old Testament. Then those 613 were summarized into the Ten Commandments, which fulfilled all of the 613. Then the ten, so you have a pyramid. Then the Ten Commandments filled it. Then let's go to Micah 6. Let's see if anybody can find Micah. Right after Jonah. Does that help, Ronnie? Right after Jonah. You found it? The other people are searching diligently. Right after Jonah.
I'm at Micah. At Micah. Chapter
6. Thank chapter you. 6, starting in verse 6. Let's hum a tune for a minute while the garbage trucks are here. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Or shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for sin of my soul? And he answered, he hath showed me, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. Do justice, love mercy, what that really says is to humble yourself, to empty yourself in order that you can walk before God. So it went from 613 to the 10, now it's to the 3. And the concept is, if you did those three as you're automatic, then you would fulfill the 613. Then it goes down to one. Let's go to Luke 6. Verse 27. Well, let's start 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, and offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. And give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do unto you, to you, do ye also, or likewise unto them. Now that is what's called the golden rule. And it says, in another place, it says, all the law and the prophets hang on the golden rule. Now, so again, we have 613 laws. And if you understood the laws, you would see Messiah. If you had 10 commandments, which if you understand the 10 commandments, and the part of doing the 613 is no one has ever done them right. Then you have the 10 commandments. If you had the 10 commandments, if you did them, then you'd see Messiah. But nobody's ever done them. And then it comes down to the three. Do justly, love mercy, and humble yourself to walk before your God. No one has ever done that. Until finally, you have the golden rule. If you did the golden rule, you would see Messiah. But nobody's ever done it. And each point, this is the whole mystery of John's preaching. He's saying this as if it were able to do it, but he knows that they won't. If I told you to love them that curse you and do despitefully use you, and what it says, the next time somebody drives in front of you or runs a stop sign and you almost get killed or something, the automatic response is, you son of a bitch. And so it's the unexpected things that reveal the heart. And so this is why the only answer is repentance. Now, do you understand what John is doing here? He's giving examples of what these three groups don't do, and they're going to try to do it, and they can't do it, and so then the repentance will be full. The same is true every one of you, every one of us. We start out thinking. We're thinking that the law is good, and the law, whatever our perception of it is if we could follow it, then we would be okay. And what we do is then when we don't follow it, then we become a victim because somebody else is making us not follow it. And so it's just a never-ending cycle, whether it's 613, whether it's 10, whether it's 3, or whether it's 1. So the only answer is repentance. And then all of them are fulfilled because he fulfilled them all. So when you hear, this is what I should do, and then because that's all your mind can conceive of, the moment you ask the question, Father, forgive me. Because I can't ask the question without an awareness of self. So I haven't become a darling infant without self-awareness. I have returned to the curse. Because I is in the sentence. What shall I do? Now this one will bite you in the ass every second of every day. That's why repentance is the way of life. It's not an act that you do for an issue. Everybody understand? What?
What is this mean? It's like in this upside down pyramid, people on the track get down to the last, as far as they can go, and they don't go any farther. They stop at, well, I'm doing the best I can, and surely God will honor that, rather than go as far, you know, push to repentance.
Is this a philosophy or is this a confession?
This is how people are. I'm observing.
Or it's only an observation of others.
Take it as you will. But I mean, I hear people say that all the time. I'm doing the best I can. But that's what I hear in this is, yeah, fine. Take it a little farther.
That's not.
Get to repentance. Yeah. That's the point of the pyramid.
Because you think you want to hold on to the illusion that there's at least some part of you that's good. There's at least one other person on the face of the earth that's worse than I am. There's some part of me that's good. Now that is so incredibly evil that it's beyond the pale. Because you can't be the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners was who? Whom? The chief of sinners was Satan. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. I know that I am the chief of sinners. I know that my mind is the Antichrist, is the instead of Christ. There's probably a lot of people that agree with me, but they don't agree that they are the Antichrist. Because if you could conceive once and for all time that your mind is the Antichrist, is the instead of Christ, he is the one that's set up in the temple showing himself that he is God. If you can see it once, then your obedience is fulfilled. And so it's easy after that to bring every thought into captivity and to revenge the disobedience. You can't possibly believe your mind or your emotions or how you feel, because their source is in the instead of Christ. Especially opinions. Anybody got any opinions? Tom?
I'm out of opinions right now. I'll get some more later.
He checked him at the door.
You better. You better check him before Tabernacles. I'll probably gig you a few times to see whether you have.
I'll do it anyway, just for the fun of it.
I have some ignorance.
This is a biggie. This is as big as it gets. In the celebration of the feast, where we are now.
I have a question.
Wait a minute. Okay. You have until tonight to repent. What?
I was watching a little special with Michael J. Fox, who's got Parkinson's disease, pretty bad. And he was talking about the way it works on him is that he's got a brain and a mind, and he drew a strong distinction between the two. His brain functions and tells him what's right or wrong or what he wants to do, but his mind, he says, interferes and causes other things to take place. Well, I've never thought much about mind. I've always kind of blended them together.
Yeah, the brain is the place where the mind works. It's all. It's the physicality.
Not a marriage.
No, it's just what the brain does is mind stuff. The brain is the vehicle for the Antichrist to do the mind stuff. They're the same thing. You can't make that distinction.
You can't?
No. Now, the thing that used to drive Harry wild was he'd have these dreams about, they were really weird dreams, and I'd tell him, well, you're responsible for your dreams. It's just another instrument to cause you to repent. Well, how can... And then when the idea that you're also responsible for your subconscious activities.
That can't be. Well, that's what you do. If this, see, if you could separate the mind from the brain, then you could still have a life in the instead of Christ. Abandonment wouldn't be complete. Now, I've heard that argument 100 times over the years, especially when I was on the radio, and people think, "Well, if I'm blah blah blah, I'm not the Antichrist." Let me ask you a question, Gary. Do you know that that everything that makes Gary Gary is the Antichrist? Do you know that?
Yeah, I do.
So then you can't trust any aspect. The mind cannot commune with God. The mind cannot think good thoughts. The mind cannot meet any aspect of the demand of God.
What part of Gary contains Christ?
The inner man. The heart, the cardia.
And how is it manifest?
It's manifest. It becomes manifest in totality with your emptying, your disowning of self. There's never a thought beforehand. What you speak, you do. It's because you've heard, and then you see, and then you've thought of. And again, I promise you, if you've seen, you will speak.
And there's a little bit of a conundrum, in as much as all of Gary is bad, but there's a part of him that contains Christ.
His. Remember, the prayer is that the Word would be made flesh in me. But that the mind it's the mind of Christ is what we want.
It's like, if you see Christ in me, that's great. But if I try and see Christ in me, I'm totally polluted. So it's all outward.
It's all always you are. Your conception of self is always, I'm the chief of sinners.
Yeah. It also has to do with time.
Sure.
I mean, Gary's mind exists inside of time, so does mine, you know, so does Ollie's. Inside of time, we're stuck with that. But outside of time, mind doesn't exist. So
well, that's why it's so important, this idea, let your speech be seasoned with salt. It's not just your speech outwardly, it's the speech inwardly, the self-talk. And there's nothing. The self-talk can't exist if it's seasoned with salt, because there will be silence. And if it comes up, you revenge it in a split second. Remember when Jesus said, he said, the prince of this world cometh, and he has no interest in me. Why? Because Christ, by his view, was nothing that he could worship. I promise you, Christ, by your view, is absolutely nothing and no one that you could worship. I don't care how many songs you sing. I don't care how many times you raise your hand. I don't care how many times you babble in tongues. What I did for years and years, every time my mind started to think, I would automatically speak in tongues in my mind. And it shut it up. Another thing that Harry never believed is that I don't think. You don't have to think about anything. That's childish.
And you think that's correct?
Nice try, Gary.
I got you. I love it. You know, we're pushed to the point of conundrums here. This is great. Because the mind is going to try and make sense of all this so it can capture something and keep alive.
Right.
But we keep getting pushed to this point of there's no making sense of it, and the only thing left is
faith,
repentance, God. And he's not like we are, you know. know.
Right.
He's this miracle.
That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And the reason is the preaching of the cross, if you hear, will cause you to be empty.
Amen.
And that's the mystery of God. You know, it's like watching children play in the street when I just listen to people and blah, blah, blah. It's just crap. I mean, I wouldn't invite me to a party either. I mean, you know, I used to be very good at small talk. I was a politician. But now it just bores me to no end. Well, should it bore everybody? Yes. Oh, I'm just a gregarious kind of person. Bullshit. You're trying to get approval from men. It says we're still playing this stupid little game where we're trying to get approval of people. And yet it says, if you are his disciple, you'll be hated of all men. Well, that was just for back there. No. Today. Oh, I don't want to be hated by all men. Well, that's because you're still trying to find yourself. You're still operating out of those high places from when you're a little kid. Oh, I'm afraid of rejection, and oh, poor me, I'm afraid I'm going to be this or that. Oh, I suffered this and when I was a kid, and that made me like I am. Well, just bury the whole son of a bitch. Give it no importance, and it will have no importance. Well, that's just the way I am. I've heard that 10,000 times. Yeah, that's why you should be buried. I think I just went on a rant.
Crossed over the line.
Uh-oh. I just been pointed out that I am now in overtime. But I collected I probably collected 30 hours of overtime while Joyce Anna was gone.
30 hours, right.
Well, I try. Anybody have any final thought? Any response to any of this?
Well, you don't get to the place, in my saying, you don't get to that place by trying, by
effort. But listen, but what you do is you bubble forth whatever is there and let the body see.
Amen.
And in that seeing, it'll push you to the edge, which you should have already been to the edge, because you were baptized. Baptized sealed that your mind was gone. It's never again to be trusted because you buried the son of a bitch. So it's not a matter of, well, it's not any time. It's only repentance. And if you don't see and you're still talking about it, then talk about it to me. I can promise you, all these little gregarious things that people do, all the little small talk, is to try to get the approval of men. I promise you. And if I yet seek the approval of men, I cannot be the servant of God. There's no gray area, there's no wiggle room. That's why I hate small talk. I didn't used to hate small talk. I loved it. I was the biggest fan of the Cowboys they were. I flew to every game. Anyway, take a big guy.